Welcome back to our Founder Acharya series. This is lesson two. Is that image smaller than it was yesterday? No? Yeah? It looks smaller. Anyway, so it's the same. Okay, let me just see something here. Okay, lesson two, the Founder Acharya principle. In the first lesson, we looked at the guru principle, what a guru is, why we need a guru, how the guru is one, how gurus are different, and how all gurus are different manifestations, different expressions of the original guru, who is Krishna. I mean, Lord Balaram is the first expansion, and so he technically is the original guru because we need a guru to go to Krishna. But Krishna is the original everything. So in the sense of Krishna being the source of all, we can say that he's also the original guru. And Prabhupada does say that too. In this lesson, we'll look at the founder Acharya, the foundational guru of all gurus and disciples in his line. So there's always a reason why I have a particular slide to start a lesson. And in this case, okay, we don't have a runner. Why don't you be the runner? You know what a runner is? You're going to run the mic. So you just stay there. And I mean, for practicalities, it seems like it was just makes sense to have the people in the front. Otherwise, we're running too much. Can you see there? Yeah? Okay. Good. So raise your hand if you can tell us who this is. Srila Vyasadeva. How did you know? Because he's blue. One time a godbrother asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why is Krishna blue? So Prabhupada, you never knew what Prabhupada, how he was going to answer. Because Prabhupada wouldn't just answer the contents of the question, he would answer the intent of the questioner, right? He would answer the mentality. Srila Prabhupada, why is Krishna blue? Why don't you ask him? That's how Prabhupada answered that one. In other words, why don't you know? Why don't you go back to Godhead and ask him? Okay. So yes, Madhvacharya, or excuse me, Vyasadeva, now I just gave away. Who's this? Yeah. Okay. Now, how many years separated Vyasa's appearance on earth from Madhva's?
4,000.
Yeah, 4,000. At least 4,000 years, right? So why in our disciplic succession, why is Madhva listed as Vyasa's disciple? I mean, that's a long gap. That's a long time to wait for initiation, right? But he wasn't initiated by Madhva. Yes, although Madhvacharya accepted Diksha and Sannyas from a person named Achyuta Preksha Swami, that was Madhva's initiating guru, Achyuta Preksha Swami, and his Sannyas guru. Since Madhva received the most Shiksha, the most instruction from Vyas, when you look at the disciplic succession list, and now when everybody comes in late, it's really a challenge here because this is the land of the squeaky floors. But does anybody ever nickname this temple? Temple of the creaky floors. This, everybody says that, huh?
Whenever he comes, the floor is more squeaky.
More speaking, more. Yeah, I'm sure. Because there's more feet here, probably, than the last people. We weren't the first people in this building, right? No. Anyway, the floor, yes, okay. So Madhva is a Diksha disciple of Achyuta Preksha Swami, whom he also took sannyas from. So they must have had a pretty close relationship. You don't just repeat somebody as a guru unless you're developing a relationship. And yet Madhva is listed in that list, the disciplic succession, as Vyasa's disciple. Huh. So that's a big hint about the nature of our disciplic succession. Now in the 1960s, in ISKCON, there were no books. Can you imagine an ISKCON with no books? Prabhupada, he was guru, sadhu, and shastra all rolled into one. He was the only guru, he was the sadhu, he was the shastra, he was the grandfather, he was everything, you know. So finally a couple of books came out. Bhagavad Gita as it is in a heavily abridged edition, only about one third of the size of the manuscript, because the publisher was so worried that it wouldn't sell. So they made Prabhupada cut down the manuscript to like one third the size, and then even put the purports to wrong verses. It was a butcher job, you know. But enough of the potency came through between 1968 and 1972 that still the Hare Krishna movement exploded. And then also, what was the other book that came out, do you know, in that year? Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, compiled from Prabhupada's CC lectures in 66. And then at the end of the introduction to Gita, there's this mysterious list, and the devotees said, Swamiji, what is this list? Oh, they were calling him Prabhupada by the time he came out. Yeah. What is this list? And one person wrote a letter and said, how come Arjuna is not in the list? I mean, Arjuna is our hero. He got it. Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Paritram, Pavitram, Paramang Brahma. You're God, he says in the 10th chapter, 12th verse. You're God, you're the Supreme Lord. How come he's not in the list? And then Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, well, Arjuna, he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're following Lord Chaitanya, and he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So we are in the same disciplic succession. It's just a different branch, and you can't list all the branches. It's just too many. And Prabhupada gave an example, like we have a lot of nice trees. What's the name of the park? Tivoli? Yeah. Tivoli Park. So we went japa walking over there, and then there's all these big trees. And then Prabhupada said, if you have a big tree with many branches, and you pluck a leaf from this branch, and you pluck a leaf from that branch, way in different side of the tree. But then Prabhupada said, if you test the leaves, you'll see the taste is the same. Prabhupada said the taste, the characteristics, they're the same. So, in a couple of more letters, Prabhupada said, because he's answering these questions, what is this disciplic list? So Prabhupada said, disciplic succession does not mean one has to be directly a disciple of a particular person. It's not a line of initiators and initiated. That's not what it's all about. And then in another letter, Prabhupada said, disciplic succession means to accept the disciplic conclusion. So Arjuna said, you're God, and Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna's God. So it's the same. It's the same thing. So that list, who made the list, do you know? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And he called the list the Bhagavat Parampara or Shiksha Parampara. It's a line of people who are perfectly preaching and living the Bhagavat. Prabhupada calls it the Acharya Sampradaya, people who walk the talk, we say in English, who practice what they preach. And Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto purport, quote, the Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. You know you're in a bona fide Sampradaya when everybody's practicing what they preach, right? Especially these famous Shiksha gurus. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile, useless, unart, as Prabhu says, Dinabandhu Prabhu, unart, no value. Now, as we'll see in this lesson, it is from the Acharya Sampradaya culture, this culture of people who are living the teachings, that the founder Acharya phrase emerges in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line. So let's explore the origin and evolution of Founder Acharya. This is like a transcendental history lesson. As a matter of fact, lessons 2 through 6 are history lessons. I just realized not long ago. But it's not dry history, so don't worry. It's fun. It's not the history of wars, right? When we take history in school, it's the landmarks are wars. That's Kali Yuga, right? The age of wars. Everybody's fighting. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. And then we're going to focus on the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's the Sampradaya that sprung up. We're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. So it's a special extension of that Sampradaya. And so it starts when Lord Chaitanya appears. So, who's that? Six Goswamis, yes. Believe it or not, the Six Goswamis planted the first seed of the Founder Acharya concept in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Mataji, why don't you read? Can you read that?
In the 16th century, after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his chief disciples, the six Goswamis of Vrindavana, founded the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha.
That's a mouthful in Sanskrit, huh? Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha. It means, well, let's find out what it means. Read that, Mataji.
The Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha is the gathering of devotees who worship the king of all Vaishnavas in the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Right. It's the sabha, or the gathering, or assembly, like right here. This is a sabha. It's a congregation, or it's a gathering, it's assembly, of devotees who worship the Raj, the king of the world's devotees. It's Lord Chaitanya. We're worshiping Lord Chaitanya. This is a sangha. So they organized. What are Mahaprabhu's dates? Do you know when Mahaprabhu appeared and disappeared by the Christian calendar? Or what do they say? Common era now. CE. They're so secular now. They don't even say AD. 1486. Right? What's the disappearance year? Yes. You see 33 sometimes, but it's 34. 1486 to 1534. Okay, you can. Thank you. So Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years by our reckoning. And so within a dozen years after Mahaprabhu disappeared, somewhere in the 1540s, the six Goswamis, who are his chief disciples, whom he entrusted to elaborate the philosophy. Lord Chaitanya only wrote down the Shikshastak, right? He only wrote down 8 verses. But all the Goswami's voluminous writings, they're expansions of those 8 verses. So in the 1540s, they started something, and it was called the Sri Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha, an organized sangha. So that was a kind of seed, the first seed of the Founder Acharya principle, because something was founded, something was organized. It's an organizational seed of the concept. Now that was in the 1540s, and then in 1552, a very special event in the Gaudiya Vaishnav history happened. This is supposed to be Srila Rupa Goswami, and in 1552 he published what work? Anybody? Raise your hand. Yes, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's a little debated, but that's Prabhupada says that in Nectar Devotion. So, and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, well, that's okay. You read it. Can you read it?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's too impractical. We find, well, first just read this.
In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami identified the 4th principle of devotional service as Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. which Srila Prabhupada later translated in the Nectar of Devotion as following is the as following
footsteps.
In the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual masters.
Yes, sadhu vartmanu vartanam. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, under the direction of the spiritual master. So there's a subtle but clear distinction being made there between one's personal spiritual master and great acharyas. You remember in lesson one how we learned there's differences in how the gurus are one, but they're also different. Different roles, different levels of qualification, different levels of commitment they make. Prabhupada echoes the same point in his introduction to Nectar of Devotion. Quote, in our mental activities, we should always try to think of Krishna and try to plan how to please him, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas and the personal spiritual master. Observation. As a child may see his parents as everything at first, but then matures to see them in perspective, so a disciple may see his spiritual parents and relatives as everything at first, his Shiksha and Diksha gurus, but then matures to appreciate them in relation to the great acharyas. It's like another example is if you're on a mountain. Say you're on Mount Everest, you know, supposedly the highest mountain in the world in the Himalayas. And you know it's a big mountain when you're on it, but then you even see it as even bigger when you get down off it and then you look back on it, whoa, that's a giant mountain. That's a mountain among mountains. So that's kind of a difference between what Prabhupada called a regular guru and a great acharya. Now, so there is a kind of philosophical seed of founder acharya. A founder acharya is more than a regular guru. He's rare. He's rare, because he's so empowered, he's able to take the sampradaya in a dynamic direction for that age. Now let's look at how one famous disciple saw his great initiating guru in relation to an even greater acharya. So far we have two seeds. We have organizational and philosophical. And now this is supposed to be depicting Srila Narottam Das Thakur, whose songs we sing every day, right? We sing Sri Guru Charana Padma and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. That was my excuse for answering Dina Bandhu today the way I did. Oh, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah, he wrote some Saradava. It's easier to say that than to remember the name of the song. That's my excuse. But he had a good point. We don't worship the blazing fire or the ocean of birth and death. We worship the Guru, Sri Gaurvastikam. Okay, so Narottam Das Thakur, circa 1560 now. See, we're getting seeds of the founder acharya. 1540s, 1552, 1560, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Most scholars agree, circa 1560, he finished a famous song collection called, anybody know? Prarthana. Oh, see, you raised your hand. Yeah, I didn't say raise your hand. Why do I say that? Because usually people all call out and then I can't hear what they're saying. So, Prarthana, yes. Now in Prarthana, and every day. Sri Guru Vandana, and whatever the name is of that Sri Krishna Chaitanya song. You sing it here. They don't do that in every temple. But here we have a Panchatattva temple, so it's appropriate. And there was 60, 70 songs in that collection. And let's see, how about Manaji, you want to read?
In his Prarthana collection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur brought in the fourth verse of song 17, a song to Srila Rupa Goswami.
Okay, now, am I going to tell a story first? Let's try it this way. Prabolokanatha kabe sangelanya jabe Sri Rupera Parapadme More Samarpibe, which means,
when will my Lord and Master Lokanath Swami take me with him and place me at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami?
Now, Narottam Das Thakur, he's Prabhu, when will my Prabhu, my Lokanath, that's Lokanath Goswami, is Narottam's initiating guru. In fact, he's the only disciple of Lokanath. Does anybody know the story of how he came to be the only disciple? You know. All right, you're going to need the mic for this one. Well, I'll let you tell the end here. I'll give you the, go ahead. Narottam Das Thakur, he was one of three of the best students of Srila Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami had a little school, and Narottam and Shyamananda and Srinivas were the best students. But Sri Jiva noticed that Narottam, he, even though he was a Shiksha student of Jiva, he was really attached to Lokanath Goswami. So Jiva noticed this. So Sri Jiva said, Narottam, I want you to approach Lokanath Goswami and you ask him for initiation, because I've seen you've already given your heart to Lokanath. Now, interestingly, both of them already knew that Lokanath Goswami had made a vow, right? I will never accept disciples, because when Mahaprabhu left the planet, he was so distressed that he just decided, I'm going to withdraw now, I'm going to retire to Nirjan Bhajan, and I'm not going to take any disciples. And so, but Narottam dutifully did what Sri Jiva said, and he went to Lokanath Goswami and said, please accept me as your disciple. No, you know I don't accept disciples, sorry. But Narottam, he was a prince, he was the son of a king, and he knew that because of his high birth, you know, materially speaking, that he was proud of that. And he wanted to do some menial service for Lokanath Goswami to curb down that false pride. So now Prabhu's going to tell us what happened.
So secretly, while Lokanath Goswami would be taking his morning bath, before sunrise of course, Narottam would clean the place that Lokanath Goswami would just use to respond
evacuate
to the call of nature. And he would clean that and he would prepare that place for the next morning. And also, while Lokanath Goswami was at the river, Narottam would fill up the water and clean around his hut.
Yeah. So before Lokanath Goswami did his morning ablutions, that's a real nice way to say it, then Narottam would come. In the account I read, he came earlier than Lokanath. And he just cleaned everything, made the earth nice, made the water nice. So the first day this happened, Lokanath comes and he sees, what is this? Who's done this? This is very nice. But he was so kind of detached that he just, whatever. So he did his business, bathed. Now this went on for over a year. It says in the Narottam Vilas anyway, that he's accepting this service from some anonymous Saivite. And finally it said that Lokanath Goswami thought to himself, well, I'm supposed to be a renunciate, but I'm allowing somebody to serve me, this, like this. This is enough is enough. I have to find out who's doing this. So he decided the next morning he's going to hide. He's going to hide behind the trees and he's going to come earlier than he usually does to see who's doing this. So it says he hid behind the trees and sure enough, Narottam comes in the half moonlight and he's approaching the area and Lokanath can't quite make out who that is, so he comes out from behind the tree. Who is that? And then Narottam sees he's been found out, so he just throws himself at the feet of Lokanath and says, you must accept me, please accept me as your disciple, otherwise there's no meaning to my life. kind of reminiscent of what we heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said later to Srila Gaurakishore. Yeah? You must accept me as your disciple. So this time, Lokanath was very moved by this. And I believe, I have to find this out, maybe you know, that he'd had a dream. That Mahaprabhu came to Lokanath Goswami and said, you must accept Narottam. But I have to... Yeah, you've heard that too. Have you read it?
Yeah. Mataji Sitala, Harishauri Prabhu's wife, wrote a book about Narottam,
yes,
30 years ago that she never published, but it's coming out of in print this year. Mm-hmm. However, she mercifully let me read it some years ago.
Okay, I'd like to see the reference where she got that. The dream is in there, though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So Lokanath did relent and agreed to accept Narottam as his only disciple. Now, are there any people in the room here who have an only child? I'm one. I have one daughter. Anybody? No? Okay. Well, especially when you have only one child, the attachment's very strong. That's the only child, right? Maybe after a few, you know, it's not quite as whatever. We have a joke in America. Okay, kids, go play in traffic now. That's a joke. But or go juggle knives. You know. Anyway, that's American anti-culture, right? But one child, you're more protective about. It's the only child. So, now what do you think Lokanath thought when in Song 17 of Prarthana, which became a very famous song collection, we have in the fourth verse, when will my Lord and Master, Prabhu Lokanath, when will he take me with him and place me at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? How do you think he felt about that? Did he feel neglected, circumvented, jumped over, to use some ISKCON jargon? Who is Srila Rupa Goswami in relationship to Lokanath and Narottam? After Rupa Goswami published Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what do the Vaishnavs call Sri Rupa? Do you know? They didn't say Founder Acharya because the English weren't there yet. Right, there was no English founder. No, they call them, there's a certain Sanskrit phrase that Prabhupada mentions in one CC purport. Quote, Srila Rupa Goswami is described as the Bhakti Rasacharya. As soon as Sri Rupa published that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, immediately all the Vaishnavas know, oh, he's the chief of the Goswamis because he's the most expert at relishing all the rasas, the moods, the mellows of devotional service. So even though Rupa wasn't the oldest or the most renounced for, you know, like Raghunath Das, or the most prolific like Jiva, 4 lakh of verses, you know, 4 Mahabharats worth of verses he wrote, Rupa, he's considered the chief of the 6 Goswamis. And it's because of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah. So how do you think Lokanath felt about Narottam saying, when will my Lokanath take me with him and place me at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? How did he feel? Was he offended? Remember we heard about Vaishnava Aparad? Seems like a Maha Aparad maybe. He's jumping over his guru. What did Lokanath Goswami think? Do you know? He's very happy. Oh yes, that's my duty. To enrich, enhance, and deepen my diksha, my initiated disciple's relationship with the leader of the line, with the Bhakti Rasacharya. This was the name. This is the original name of the Hare Krishna movement after Lord Chaitanya, the Sri Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha. Okay, so that planted a kind of cultural seed of Founder Acharya. All right, that's an example. Now, 1540s, 1552, 1560, we have to fast forward in history about 300 years, more than 300 years, to find the next group of seeds because, by Mahaprabhu's mysterious will, he allowed his bhakti renaissance to be eclipsed, overshadowed, driven underground, disgraced for hundreds of years. And we're going to see in the next lesson why he did that. So many counterfeit bhakti groups came up, right? It's like that. It's always like that. Whenever you have the real plant, then you have weeds around. You have to weed the, get rid of the weeds and cultivate the real plant. It's not until, yes, our hero, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada called Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world. It's not till Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and single-handedly, talk about empowered, revived the pure bhakti teachings, exposed the upasampradayas that had disgraced bhakti, and convinced the Bengali aristocracy, what they call the Bhadralok, to take a fresh look at their own tradition. Don't believe what the British are saying, that your religion and your culture and your wisdom books are inferior. No. Look at this. Look at Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. This is the last word in religion, philosophy, yoga, science. So he single-handedly revived the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and he even, we're going to see, he sent literature abroad. He was reaching out to Western transcendentalists. But the Thakur knew he didn't have time to manifest what he was wanting to manifest, which was the prediction in Mahaprabhu's time, Prithivite Acheyatta Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Haibe Moranam. It says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya says that in as many towns and villages as there are in the earth, my holy name will be sung and preached. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening because the upasampradayas had ruined the whole thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wants to get it going. So he wrote 100 books, like Superman, yeah? Some in English, some in Sanskrit, some in Hindi, some in Bengali. And in Bengali, Prabhu, can you see that? Why don't you read that? And let's get the mic. Oh, mic. Oh, there you are. You got to sit here now. There you go.
In his Bengali work, Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sought the literary seeds of the future English-Sanskrit phrase Phandarochara in chapter 6, this regarding the Guru.
Yes, Harinam Chintamani, the touchstone of the holy name. You're going to read some more. There's a lot about the 10 offenses in there too. And under the third offense, Gororavagya, disregarding or disrespecting the Guru, we have some good information about, we have the seeds actually, the literary seeds of Foundaracharya. Prabhu is just going to read, I want you to read now, just the seeds. We're going to see how they blossom later in the 20th century as Foundaracharya definition. Go ahead, read that.
Sampradaya Radhi Guru, the original Guru of the Sampradaya.
Right. Shiksha Guru Pratishtita.
Sampradaya Instruction Guru.
And Adhyacharya Yini.
One who is the original Acharya of Sampradaya branch.
Guru Shiromani.
The crest jewel of the all Gurus. Harinam Chintamani.
Yes. Now, we're going to see how those seeds manifested as a couple of verses in Harinam Chintamani. But they were locked into the Bengali language. Only Bengali Vaishnavs knew Harinama Chintamani because it was in Bengali. So the Thakur, he didn't have time to manifest the movement he envisioned, but he did pray for a son to help him manifest it, the ray of Vishnu, and of course that's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his fourth son, by his great wife Srimati Bhagavati Devi Bimo Prasad Dutt, 1874. He appeared and he took his father's vision to found an institution. And this is the English language version of a publication his father started called Sajjana Toshini, for the satisfaction of the Sajjanas, the devotees, and he called it The Harmonist. And in the first issue, English issue, read that.
The English Sanskrit phrase, founder Acharya, first appeared in The Harmonist, the English journal of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's Gaudiya Math.
Which started, at least symbolically, in 1918 when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, after his father and his Guru Maharaj had passed away in 1914 and 15 respectively, he sat down in front of a picture of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji and he accepted sannyas through the picture. You know, you can't imitate that. If you're a ray of Vishnu, maybe you can do that. Right? So that was the... And he did that to be in the right position to start his mission. So he had already done a huge rut. He took 9 years to chant a billion names of the Lord in Sridhar Mayapur. So 1918 marked the at least the symbolic beginning of the Gaudiya mission. And in 1930, it was in another issue of The Harmonist. This is the English language journal of the Gaudiya mission. We actually see for the first time the founder Acharya phrase emerge after hundreds of years of being in the making, right? So it's a little... I want you to... Well, let's see. Let's give somebody else a... How about... You want to read, Manu? Okay. Now, this is going to be English, but it's very complicated English. So you have to bear with it. It's... Start here, and you go down to limbs, and there it is. Go ahead.
Founder Acharya in 1930, Harmonist. The Gaudiya Math, October 1930. The Gaudiya Math is also identical with its founder Acharya. The associations the associates, followers and abode of his divine grace are limbs of himself. None of them claim to be anything but a fully subordinate limb of this single individual. This unconditional, causeless, spontaneous submission to the head is found to be not only compatible with, but absolutely necessary for the fullest freedom of initiative of the subordinate limbs.
Whew, that's a mouthful, huh? Believe it or not, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and his scholarly disciples, they could speak simply too, but they had a strategy. They were trying to out-intellectualize the Western intellectuals. So they were often speaking and writing like this to make it impressive for the... Because Western intellectuals think unless something is very complicated, it's not sophisticated. And that's a mistake. If something can be very simple and be very sophisticated. In fact, the simplest way to express something is actually very sophisticated. Like Prabhupada. He could take a very high concept and express it very simply so everybody can understand it. That's a sign of a real master. Okay, what this is saying in so many words is that the founder Acharya, he's the life and soul of all his followers. Prabhupada himself, he would say things like, ISKCON is my body, you are all the limbs of my body, which means he's the soul. He's the soul of the body, and we're all his helpers, like limbs. Now, that was stated in the 1930 Harmonist, but it was in 1933 when we find out a little more about what this means, founder Acharya, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he was about to send the first Gaudiya Vaishnava preachers abroad. He was about to send them across the ocean. This is historic. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted. This is what Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to go all over the world. So outside of India, for the first time, they were ordered to go, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would not let them go unless and until they had a book with them. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta commissioned his scholarly disciple, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, who became initiated as Bhakti Sudhakar Narayan Das, to compile a trilogy, The Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it was called Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And in the, I believe it was this elaborate table of contents, we get some more information about Founder Acharya. So let's take a look. And how about Manaji right here?
The systems of Sri Vishnu Swami, Sri Dimbarka, Sri Ramanuja and Sri Madhva are connected with the ancient times by the recognition of the remote authority of the eternal ancient teachers, namely Lakshmi, Brahma, Rudra and the four Kumaras respectively.
Okay, so these founder acharyas, they're connected with the ancient times, and here's what they are.
The four founder acharyas of the Iron Age professed to preach the views of those original teachers of the religion.
Okay, now very often we learn better by seeing it, so let's take a look and see how this looks. Alright? So there is what was said, that these founder acharyas, they're powerfully representing the Adi Gurus of their Sampradaya. See? So we have the Rudra Sampradaya, Rudra or Lord Shiva, in our Kali Yuga, powerfully represented by Vishnu Swami. And you recognize the names because Prabhupada's always citing these acharyas. So many acharyas except Krishna, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, like that. And then in the Kumara Sampradaya, Chatusana, four Kumaras, powerfully represented by Nimbarka. Sri, goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the most prominent teacher emerged is Sri Ramanuja. And here's our Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. So Brahma Madhva. What's Madhva doing there? Is he flashing the victory sign? What's happening here? Anybody know? Raise your hand. Yeah, you took the hint there. Yeah, Madhvacharya is really on a crusade against Mayavad. That's why if you go, anybody been to Udupi? You've been? No? Okay. So if you go to Udupi, you'll see in bas relief outside Sri Krishna Mutt, you see this. You see Madhva's form and you see the same thing. There's two, he's saying. There's Ishwara and Jiva. So he's really on a campaign to get rid of this idea that it's all the same. So they like ISKCON because they know that's Prabhupada's campaign too. Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschatyadesha Tarani. Okay, so now when Professor Sanyal, when he wrote his book, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he had read Harinama Chintamani, and he'd also read another book called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, which is also in Bengali. It's a very visionary work. Is anybody, it's been translated now. Anybody ever? Yes. Okay. So this is such a visionary work. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. In 1890, he published this. It's Bhaktivinoda's vision of Lord Nityananda giving Srila Jiva Goswami a guided tour of Navadvip. Now, you got to be empowered to do that, huh? To write a book where you're telling everybody what Lord Nityananda told Jiva Goswami. Okay? So one of the amazing things that's in this book is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that before the four founder acharyas appeared in this world, Lord Chaitanya appeared to each one of them and said, I'm going to appear after all of you, and when I appear, I'm going to take elements of each of your philosophy and incorporate it into my presentation. So here is, you know, Vishnu Swami. These are all technical Sanskrit terms describing the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his energies. So it says in the Sri Krishna Chaitanya, quote, from Madhva, the Lord said, he would accept Madhva's complete defeat of the Mayavad philosophy and Madhva's service to the deity of Krishna. Did you go in the temple? Where is he? When you went to Udupi, did you go inside the temple?
Yes.
So did you. Was it easy to see the deity like it's easy here? Very often in India, it's not easy to get darshan. You have to like peer in through a cage, yeah? It's like bars. So sometimes, because I lived in and around Udupi for off and on for a couple of years, so sometimes I'd go to the temple and I'd sit and I'd chant japa. And one morning, you know, and when you're chanting japa in the morning, you see the whole town comes through the temple. From the high and the mighty, you know, from the mayor of the town, very well dressed, all the way down to people who are hurting. They have cows and elephants. You know, they come in the temple. And the elephant trainer, he trains his elephant to bow down in front of the deity and look in the deity room. And when you see that, you see this massive animal. It's only a baby, too, but it looks so big, right? And you see him looking in the deity room, and you look at his body, and you think, wow, yeah, this is a great soul inside this body. What is that? Panditaksa Madarshana Shuni Chaiva Brahmane Gavi Hastini. The humble sage sees with true and equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So you see, you know, a calf and you see an elephant, you see them, wow, these are great souls. So, the elephant is on one knee and he's peering into the deity room, taking darshan of the deity. And then one morning I was chanting, I was looking at Sri Krishna, and all of a sudden I noticed next to the deity, and he's just standing there by himself, correct? He's just there, as far as I remember. It was just Krishna. But this morning, next to the deity, I see this cat, and he's standing right next to the deity, like he's guarding the deity, you know, like a sentry, you know, he's just... So I found a pujari who spoke English. And I said, Prabhu, there's a cat on the altar. Yes, Prabhu. Why? Why is the cat next to the deity? Prabhu, cat is for the rat. They had a cat guarding the deity to keep away the rat, you know. Okay. Very practical people, you know. Anyway, and when you went into the mutt, did you see Madhvacharya's seat? You might remember? They have a room where Madhvacharya used to sit on this asana, like this, you know, to give Bhagavatam class. And wow, yeah, they're really fixed. They're really fixed on their founder Acharya. So, and when did Madhva appear? Do you know his years? CE, common era? Well, a little longer, actually. It's actually 1100s to the 12. It's in between. He lived for 70 years, between 11 something and 12 something. Huh? Yeah, well, anyway, it's 800 years ago, something like that. Yeah, it's getting, time marches on. Okay, so, that's Madhva. How about Ramanuja? What are his appearance and disappearance dates? Next year is the millennial. Like Prabhu was saying, we had Prabhupada's centennial in 1996. In 2017, the Ramanujis are going to celebrate their millennial. How in the world have they kept it together for 1,000 years? I mean, look what we've been through in 50 years, right? We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. Okay, yeah, we survived the first 50 years. But if we want to survive, you know, we have an opportunity to, we hear the golden age is supposed to be 10,000 years, right? Well, we can take a little lesson from the Madhvas and the Ramanujis. Because if you go to Udupi, the seat of the, you know, the Madhvas, and you ask any Vaishnav who he is, what will he say? I am... What? Do you know? No. Come on, that's esoteric. But who are they? They're going to tell you, I'm a Madhvite. Right? And my beloved Diksha Guru is, my beloved Shiksha Gurus are. But they identify with their founder Acharya after 800 years. I keep going like this. Hey. And if you go to Sri Rangam, that's 1,000 years now. If you ask any self-respecting Ramanuji who he is, Amiyan Ramanuja Dasan, I am your servant, the servant of Ramanuja. How have they kept it together? Well, you know what they call Ramanuja? They don't say founder Acharya because they speak in Tamil and Sanskrit. They call Ramanuja their Udharak. He's their foundational guru because he wrote the books, the Mahagranthas, which they all study now for 1,000 years. And they've miraculously preserved his Vapu even. When they have Guru Puja, you've been to Sri Rangam? Yeah. They've preserved his Vapu. They didn't put his Vapu underground. They have him embalmed in this, I don't know, it was explained to me by a South Indian how they do it, but somehow they preserve the Vapu. And they say the fingernails are still there. You know, this is still growing, or I don't know if it's growing. No, it couldn't be growing, but... Yeah, because the soul is not there, but... Anyway, they preserve the Vapu.
Still Murti, still there. I mean, Murti's... Mudracharya Bhad, it's still there. It's covered with Sasana.
Yeah. I don't see how the nails could grow because the soul's not there, but anyway.
The nails were growing, but they stopped a few decades
ago. So maybe, anyway, we can speculate. The point is, Ramanuja is the main guru. He's the founder of Acharya. They're worshipping his Murti, they're studying his books, they're executing his, what is it? Vishishta Dvaita Mission. Which means that the Lord and the living entity are qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. So, and all the gurus who've come after him for 1,000 years now, they're called upakarak. They're benefactor gurus. How do they benefit their disciples? Well, they enrich, enhance, and deepen their disciples' foundational relationship with Ramanuja. Sound familiar? What do? Every day we study Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. We have Guru Puja, we do his mission. We should take note of this. If we want to survive the ravages of time, if we want to find more unity amidst our oftentimes wild international diversity, we need to really identify foundationally in a core way with our founder Acharya. Okay, let's look at how those seeds planted in Bengali by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how they blossomed in Harinam and Chintamani. It's chapter 6, disregarding the Guru, text 22, 23, somewhere in there. Where's the mic? Okay. So Manaji, why don't you read? Here's how it looks in translation now, those seeds.
One should first of all accept the instructions of the Sampradaya Adi Guru, the original Guru of the Sampradaya, and behave accordingly. In the disciplic succession of Vaishnavas, the previous Acharyas are established respectfully as Shiksha Gurus for the Sampradaya. However, the Advaita Adi Acharya, the founder Acharya. or original guru of a disciplic line, is appropriately worshipped and respected as the Guru Shiromani, the topmost crown jewel of the spiritual masters. His perfect philosophical conclusions are to be followed by all his succession. Any contrary instructions will not be accepted.
Now this is very important. So first of all, we have the Adi Guru. Who's the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya? Adi Guru.
Brahma,
yes. The dawn of time. The Sampradayas started more or less. And then Prabhupada's always referring to the Shiksha Guru Pratishthitas, you know, the previous Acharyas. Now here it is. Here's the Bengali for founder Acharya. The Adi Acharya, the founder Acharya. And who, what is he? He's the Guru Shiromani. In the line, he's so empowered by the previous Acharyas in the line to do what he's doing that he takes the Sampradaya in a dynamic new direction. And it's through him that we see all teachers and teachings. And therefore, his perfect conclusions are to be followed by all in a succession. Any contrary instructions will not be accepted. You know, there's differences in Sampradayas. But we, in our ISKCON Sangha, we accept Prabhupada's perspectives and we're seeing everyone else through his eyes. So there's many, many gurus, many, many commentaries, but Prabhupada is the measure for us of all those teachers and teachings. The last slide of the lesson, I owe a debt to His Holiness Shivaram Swami, because when Shivaram Swami did write that book I mentioned, the Shiksha Guru, he also read a translation of Harinama Chintamani, and where there is quite a bit of information about the Adhyacharya, the founder Acharya. So Maharaj identified symptoms of a founder Acharya as they appear in Harinama Chintamani. So let's take a look at those symptoms. Would you like to read?
Possesses great spiritual strength.
Yes, and because we're getting close now to focusing on our founder Acharya in the next lesson, we'll give some examples of each symptom from Prabhupada's life. Okay, possesses great spiritual strength. Yeah, we couldn't keep up with Srila Prabhupada. He could have been our grandfather, materially speaking. But he just ran circles around us. I mean, even on to go on a morning walk with Prabhupada was quite a workout. He walked fast. He really walked fast. And after staying up, you know, half the night translating. And we knew that, but we couldn't, you know, keep up with him. Day and night preaching about Krishna. And his days and nights weren't like ours. They were like seamless. You know, like we say, go to bed, I'm going to take a rest. And we're out, you know, for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours or whatever you need. You see in Prabhupada's books, you see anywhere from 6 to 8. Okay, but it wasn't like that. Prabhupada would take rest at 10, for example, and he'd be up, you know, like midnight, translating. You just ask people like Harishari and Shruti Kirti who are still with us. Prabhupada would, he would just nap. He would get a couple hours at night, and he would get maybe an hour after, a half hour after breakfast, maybe an hour after lunch. And then he'd instantly adapt to wherever he landed in the world, no matter how far he traveled, whatever time it was, you know? Okay, it's noon, or it's midnight, it's time to translate. Right? It's 6 a.m., it's time to go on a morning walk. No problem, right? And it's noon, it's time for the massage and answering letters and the bath and prasadam. And it's 6 p.m., okay, there's guests to greet. It's time, you know, it was just like nonstop. So, but Prabhupada's, whoever was traveling with Prabhupada, they felt it, right? They weren't immune to jet lag. So they'd land, you know, at a place and then set up Prabhupada's room and then they'd go and they'd crash. And then Prabhupada would peek in sometimes, you know. You are useless. You are worse than karmis. Karmis work hard for their sense gratification. You are simply eating and sleeping. You are useless. And then he'd say, "Don't mind, I'm scolding you. This is my duty." Yeah, it's great spiritual strength. And where did Prabhupada get that strength? Well, he was on such a high level of Krishna Prem. We even say in English, you know, love can move mountains, and they're talking about just mundane love. What to speak of, you know, the highest levels of Krishna Prem? You can change the course of spiritual history, which Prabhupada did. Okay, possesses great spiritual strength, and
his teachings take
precedence
over all others and are compulsory for his followers.
Compulsory, right, they're required. Precedence, it's a tricky word. It means, again, as I said, we see all teachers and teachings through Prabhupada's eyes, through his written and spoken word. It doesn't mean Prabhupada thinks that he surpassed the previous acharyas, but he's empowered by them, selected by them, to do what he's doing in an amazing way. So as soon as somebody thinks he surpassed the previous acharyas, just like in CC, we have Vallabhacharya meeting Lord Chaitanya, and Vallabhacharya goes and he presents his commentary in the Bhagavatam, and he proudly announces to Mahaprabhu that this commentary has surpassed Sridhar Swami's commentary, who's considered the original Bhagavatam commentator. So what did Mahaprabhu reply to that? Do you know the pastime? Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. Yeah, we're getting lazy here, right? Is this being recorded or something? It's on the internet. Okay.
Sridhar Swami was referred to as the Swami, and the husband is referred to as the Swami. So Mahaprabhu replied that a wife who rejects her Swami is a prostitute.
Yes. Oh, you've surpassed the Swami, Sridhar Swami. Well, that means you're now independent of our husband, the original Bhagavatam. You become like a prostitute. So Vallabhacharya, he was duly chastened, my Mahaprabhu. So we see everything through Prabhupada's eyes. And that's not sectarian. That's just called being chaste to the founder Acharya. And as we go on in the seminar, you'll see how intimate associate Prabhupada is of Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Why not follow Srila Prabhupada? It's not sectarian at all. It's simply following the one who is the most empowered. Okay, his teachings take precedence and
holds a unique post.
Unique post. One of a kind. Sometimes people complain. You mean, Prabhupada, he's the only Nitya Siddha, the only Mahabhagavat, the only Shaktivesh avatar we're ever going to see in ISKCON? I say, no. No. Come on, we need some of those people. Bring them on, you know? Hey, take birth in ISKCON. And if they're really that, if they're really authentic, they'll do amazing things. But what will they try to replace Prabhupada? No. They'll be very happy to cooperate with our Prabhupada's, you know, what he set up based on the vision of the previous acharyas and Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. So those kinds of people, when we even see it today, you know, what some devotees do, it's this very empowered stuff. Just amazing stuff. So the more surrendered we are, the more empowered we can become. So he holds a unique post. As long as the founder Acharya can express himself through his own institution, there's no need to dissolve the institution or to declare a new founder Acharya, which is what the next lesson is about. Because Prabhupada had to do that. He had to start something new. Old wine and new bottles. Another symptom is
the acharya or leader of all Vaishnavas even when physically present.
Yeah, to protect ISKCON, Prabhupada had to say and write some very heavy things. And he knew, because he was Uttamadhikari, but preaching on the level, to preach you have to come down and make distinctions. Madhyamadhikari. He teaches who the Supreme Lord is. He befriends the devotees. He preaches to the innocent, and he avoids the envious. So Prabhupada had to call a spade a spade. He had to make distinctions. That was for most of his preaching, Leela. In the last year of Prabhupada's stay with us, he was in the mood of Uttam Adhikari, who sees everyone serving Krishna except himself. It's inconceivable, this level of Krishna consciousness. So in his last days, he once said to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Maharaj, you must call all my godbrothers. I have to apologize to them. So a lot of them came. And yeah, they weren't happy with some of the things Prabhupada had said and done to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They had issues with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said to them first, he said, please forgive me, I am Mahapatita. I am greatly fallen. And so one of the Gaudiya Math Swamis said, No, Swami Maharaj, you are Mahapatita Pavana. You are a savior of the fallen. You did what Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta wanted us all to do. You spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and you save so many fallen souls. And then Prabhupada said, No, I became proud. So many disciples came, so much Lakshmi came, so many books, so many temples. I became proud. No, Swami Maharaj, you never became proud. Those things just came as a natural consequence. They followed you around like maidservants. Right? The opulence followed you because of your strong desire to spread Krishna consciousness. So at least at the end, there was a kind of reconciliation with the godbrothers on Prabhupada's disappearance bed. Okay, so
awards power of attorney to his followers who strictly adhere to his teachings.
Strictly adhere, they strictly follow, yeah, to his teachings. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, you can know how great a Vaishnava is by how many others he turns, how many others he empowers, turns to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada has created so many moon-like. There's a book by Giriraj Swami, Many Moons. Have you seen this book? It's about some of the devotees who have departed, great souls that Prabhupada empowered, picked up. Yeah. Like Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Tirtha Swami and others. Who's there? Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I think. There's a lady there, I forget her name now. Passed away in Vrindavan. She was an artist. Okay. So, all right, that's the last slide. So lesson outcomes. By the end of the lesson, students will be able to identify, what are the four seeds, you remember? Organizational seed, organizational, philosophical, cultural, and literary seeds of the Foundaracharya principle as they appeared over time in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We should be able to retell how that phrase, Founder Acharya, finally appeared in the 1930s, identify the foundational role of the Founder Acharya in the Vaishnava Sampradayas. He provides the core identity for all generations of his followers, whether it's Ramanujis or Madhvas, or what do we say? We say Prabhupada Nugas, Prabhupada followers. And identify symptoms of a founder acharya as noted in the Harinama Chintamani. There they are. Okay, I'm going to sit down, and if you have any questions, we have a mic. I'll try to answer them. Oh, first let me do the transition. Transition. Having looked at the origin, characteristics, and historical development of the founder acharya principle, we are now ready to examine how our Srila Prabhupada emerged as the founder acharya of a fresh branch of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, ISKCON. It's fascinating. How Lord Chaitanya revealed to Prabhupada what he had to do when he came over to the West, and then how Prabhupada revealed that to us gradually. Yeah. And we're still realizing, that's why we're doing this seminar, we're still realizing the depth of his position. And that's a key for ISKCON to last, to stay together, to find unity amidst our wild diversity. Okay, and remember, when you ask your questions, keep them to the points of this particular lesson, because then we'll be fruitful. Otherwise, we'll just go all over the universe. Okay, here's the mic. Yeah, you got to go around that side of the pillar, right? Whoop.
So just at this very end, you mentioned how Srila Prabhupada invited all of his God brothers and apologized for the things he said.
So some published.
And published. So some people outside and inside his claim that because he did that, we should disregard what he said before because he admitted it was wrong. So how should we reply to those claims?
Everybody understand the question? Understanding what Prabhu said, it presumes a kind of background in some ISKCON history. I don't know if you necessarily know what he's referring to. But, Prabhupada, to protect ISKCON, he really did say and write some heavy things. I'll answer you by... When I was doing my basic research for this seminar, and it never really ends, but when I did the first research, I spoke with Hari Shariprabhu, and I asked him how we should relate to the surviving remnants of the once unified Gaudiya mission, the Gaudiya Math. How do we do that? And so he said, well, it depends on their attitude. For example, Hari Shariprabhu, whom you may know, have you read his diaries? It's really a good read. It's really well worth reading. You get a very intimate peek at Prabhupada. So Hari Shariprabhu, one of his services is, he's the manager of what's called the Bhaktivedanta Research Center in Calcutta. So to date, his biggest... donation. It came through a connection with a friendly Gaudiya Math. He got the entire collection of Srila Bhaktivinoda's writings, I believe. The collection of Sundarananda Vidyan Vinod. Yeah. With the help of some friendly Gaudiya Math people. So those are the kind of people, obviously, we want to cooperate with, because they can help preserve the Gaudiya tradition and help spread Krishna consciousness. And those, who don't appreciate Prabhupada, and we keep a respectful distance from. So in Prabhupada's, he did say and write some heavy things. And one thing he never did, even as he was apologizing to his godbrothers personally, he never wanted us to take shiksha from them as regards, how to spread ISKCON all over, how to spread the mission all over the world, because it was because of their fundamental mistakes, fundamental disobedience, if you will, to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as we're going to see in the next lesson and then also in lesson 4, that mission split apart. We'll see this a little more vividly in the next lesson of what happened when Prabhupada came, how he reached out to his godbrothers, how they responded or didn't respond. I think next lesson we'll see it more vividly. So maybe let's revisit that question in the next lesson when we're going to see. You see this lesson? It says, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. This is the same name of the whole series. This is the signature lesson of the whole series. This is the lesson I give when there's only time to give one lesson if I'm passing through. So you'll see dramatically how Lord Chaitanya revealed to Prabhupada his mission, even though he already had a mission, but Prabhupada was thinking in a certain way, but then Lord Chaitanya revealed to Prabhupada what he had to do. And then how Prabhupada revealed that to us. So let's go a little deeper with that tomorrow, or I'm not sure when the next lesson is because of everything going on. I'm going to suggest. I saw on Sunday, of course, tomorrow we're all over the place. So we're going on a trip. But Sunday morning, I see there's. Let's do it Sunday morning, huh? Okay. So Sunday, same time?
No, it's morning.
So what time?
So we do instead of Bhagavatam class.
Yeah?
8 till.
Whenever. Okay. So, okay. We can. Well, we're going to need a couple hours. It's a long lesson. This is the signature lesson of the seminar. Oh, okay. I'll try to. You mean have the seminar later in the morning?
Or? Skip this lecture and do a shorter one, then the next day come.
Oh, give.
The third one is the longest one.
Yeah. Well, no, these first lessons, it's important you do see them in sequence. You really do need to build on them. Why don't we just do it later in the morning? What's going on? I didn't see anything until 3:30 on the schedule. It's a big blue. Is there something else happening? I didn't see anything. Why don't we just do... I'll give a Bhagavatam class and then we'll reconvene at... Or 10:30 or 11 or...
Or from 8 to 9 and then from 10 to 11?
I don't think breaking the...
Okay,
we'll discuss it. But stay tuned for the next class time. There's a big blue... The deep blue sky on the printed schedule. So, but I think we should do another lesson that day. Yes, Manaji. Well, here we go. There's the runner.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this lecture. I was introduced to one magazine that His Holiness Jayapataka Swami gives out for his students, and he on the back there are like the missions that Srila Prabhupada asked His Holiness Jayapataka Swami to accomplish in his life, in his service. And one of the missions is to reunite all the mats. And what do you have to
reunite
say?
All the Gaudiya mats?
Yes.
Huh. Again, you know, there are people serving in ISKCON who are coming from the Gaudiya mat, but why are they allowed to serve in ISKCON? Because to be in ISKCON means to accept Prabhupada as your main guru. You see everyone through Prabhupada's eyes, through his teachings. So that's fine. You know, I think over time, as Prabhupada's position and contribution is more and more appreciated, the more perspective we get from the Mount Everest, was the passage of time, the mountain-like guru, Prabhupada, I think that will happen. I think that will naturally happen. It's already kind of happening, but it takes time. So that's nice. I didn't know that. To unite, I'd like to see that, exactly how he was put. But maybe you have it?
Pushtanitai Prabhu has this magazine, and at the back there are like...
Points. Of his mission.
Of his mission,
yeah.
And it's like... Yeah.
Sure. I mean, we're all Gaudiya. Why not be united? Yeah. Why not? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Questions, comments? Founder Acharya. I purposely didn't... I left some gaps there because I like people to be alert to things that maybe I didn't say that you want to hear. That's a hint. Yes, Manaji. Now you're going to have to simultaneously translate yourself. That's going to be a mystic power.
Well, I would just ask a question. When Prabhupada left, I heard that the Earth was divided into 11 planet was divided into 11 zones, and each zone had one acharya. So how come that this was not seen as a mistake from beginning?
Yeah, but we visit that in lesson 9. It's called Fictional Prabhupadas. And one of the fictions is that Prabhupada is only the spiritual master of his initiated disciples. Okay? And that's a fiction. That's a very stunted view of Prabhupada, that he's only the spiritual master of his initiated disciples. No, the founder Acharya, as we dramatically saw here, he provides the core identity, core relationship for all generations of devotees in his line. And it's the privilege and it's the sacred duty of all gurus who come after the founder Acharya to enrich, enhance, and deepen their disciples' relationship with the founder Acharya. And that's why they're the most important people in our lives. I mean, even if, like, I'm Diksha initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but look, it's not just about me and Prabhupada. I need help too. So I need, and from whatever generation of devotee, if I see somebody who's really close to Prabhupada, you know, by his character and his knowledge and his understanding of Prabhupada's mission, I'll take shiksha from that person any day of the week. So this is how we're all related, you see? Despite the generation, the zones, the God families, the founder Acharya is that central figure. He's in a pivotal position around whom all the gurus and disciples revolve. He's the common center. Yeah, now I forgot the question again. What was the... Did I answer the question? I forget.
Yeah, I mean, 11
songs. Oh, the 11... Yeah, okay. So in lesson 9, we'll see how Prabhupada himself started the zonal acharya system, but we gave ourselves the zonal acharya nightmare. If you know ISKCON's history. I didn't get much response there. So you haven't lived... You didn't live through it. We lived through in the 1980s. How Prabhupada... What he did and then how it was applied were two different things. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. In the 1980s, there were as many Hare Krishna movements as there were Diksha gurus. It was wrong. It was threatening the integrity, the unity of the entire movement. They became kingdoms, competing kingdoms. It was wrong. It was terrible. It was just the opposite of cooperation. So you're going to see that, even though Prabhupada did to continue at first to continue the parampara, yes, you can be acharya of your zone, you can continue initiating, but he never meant it to fragment the movement the way it did. It was almost like what happened in the it was different, but it was fragmenting ISKCON, not as quickly and as devastatingly as the Gaudiya Math fragmented, because they didn't have a GBC. It was only because at least we had a GBC in place. As immature and as they were, at least there was a structure to rally around when there was so much reaction to the imitation of Prabhupada's position. There was heavy reaction, heavy fall downs, murders. I mean, it was terrible. It's only because at least we did that that ISKCON survived the 1980s. Or else, it would have been over. Anyway, so we'll look at that. Yeah, Prabhupada, he started the zonal acharya system, but we gave ourselves a zonal acharya nightmare. And we're still recovering from it. That's why we have this seminar. Anyway. Okay. Any other? Yes.
Well, you mentioned about skipping, like we didn't mention Srila Jagannath Das, but...
Yeah, say it slowly.
We didn't mention Jagannath Das Babaji and Gaurakishore Das Babaji when you were mentioning our acharyas.
I didn't mention them?
I mean, we didn't like... list them or...
This is a question from yesterday?
No. Today, like when we were talking, is there, I don't know...
In the parampara.
Yes. In the parampara. Yeah, well, okay.
I
was specifically, when I was going through the Foundaracharya evolution of that concept, I mentioned Jagannath Babaji yesterday. I was specifically talking about Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta, because they were really, because Prabhupada said, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern age. He was the one who envisioned what it's going to take to start making good on this prediction that in every town and village, Lord Chaitanya's holy name will be sung and preached. Well, he knew that, he knew it's going to take a multi-guru culture to do. This is not the work of one guru. That's why it was the Thakur who envisioned a GBC. Where did Bhaktivinoda Thakur get the GBC from? Do you know? No, but it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who came up with the concept. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tried to implement it, but they didn't do it, so that's why it fell apart. So where did the GBC name come from, do you know? British Railways. Governing Body Committee. Actually, it was called a committee in the British. So Bhaktivinoda, he's very good at appropriating things, yukta vairagya, right? So, we need a GBC too. We need everything from the macro level, the global level. It's going to take many gurus and disciples working cooperatively, and they're going to have to be monitored in case anybody goes off the track here. They're going to have to, nobody's independent in Bhaktivinoda's vision. The guru's not independent of the governing body, and no individual GBC is independent. You're going to see in Lesson 9, you asked the question, how Prabhupada did not have faith in any one GBC member, but he had faith in the collective body to carry on the mission. Okay. So the Thakur, he envisioned everything from the GBC all the way down to Nam Hut and Bhakti Vriksha. He strategized the whole thing. Yeah, he was a transcendental genius. But he didn't. But he wasn't the founder of Even though he envisioned it, he didn't have time to implement it. So he prayed for the ray of Vishnu's son. So now I'm getting at something you might wonder. So because we saw in that harmonist, where did the founder acharya principle finally emerge? Where did the phrase come? In the harmonist, right? October 30 issue, 1930. And who's the founder of Acharya in there? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Okay? So, if he's the founder of Acharya, if he or taking the Sampradaya in a dynamic new direction, who are the Adi Gurus of this Gaudiya Sangha? This is what I didn't say. I was expecting somebody to ask this, because we saw four founder Acharyas, right? But what about the Gaudiyas? So who's the Adi Gurus in the Gaudiya Sampradaya? Do you know? No. The Adi Gurus. Before the founder Acharya, right, you have Adi Gurus. You remember the four? Well, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But who's the Adi Gurus? The six Goswamis. This is all in the Gaudiya Mutt literature. They're establishing the theology. They're establishing the theology of the Gaudiya mission, right? And so Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Adi Gurus are the six Goswamis. But it went underground for hundreds of years, right? So the Sampradaya had to be revived. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is the founder Acharya now of the Gaudiya mission. But interestingly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, even though he allowed himself to be referred to as such, right, in the harmonist, which he oversaw, he allowed himself to be. He never personally, when he would be introducing himself, he would never say that. My name is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I'm the founder. He never said, I'm the founder acharya of the Gaudiya mission. Why? Do you know? Prabhupada did. He said that later. My name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. I'm the founder of Acharya. of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Why didn't Srila Bhakti? He allowed himself to be referred to as such, but he didn't identify himself as such. Well, it takes a little background. Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he wrote Harinama Chintamani, he would refer to those four founder acharyas as Sampradaya acharyas. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew he would be considered presumptuous to think that he's founding a new Sampradaya. He's not founding a new Sampradaya. He's reviving a very esoteric and special extension of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. It's called the Gaudiya Sampradaya, right? Representing the Channa avatar, the hidden avatar. And plus, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as you're going to see in Lesson 4, he knew what was going to become of his own mission. He could see it coming, as you're going to see very dramatically. He could see the breakup of his own mission. And he also could see at least one disciple who would be capable of reviving the mission. You're going to see that very dramatically. Prabhupada didn't know that. But then later on, you're going to see in Lesson 4 how he's reflecting on what happened. Yeah. So does anybody have one of those Veda base on their telephone thing? I don't have that. But if you look in CC Madhyalila, chapter 19, text 1, you're going to see an analogy that Kaviraj Goswami is making between Krishna and Brahma and Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. It's CC Madhya, chapter 19, text 1. It's a very interesting analogy that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Math must have been aware of this to say what they said in the Harmonist about the Gaudiya Sampradaya and about their own founder Acharya. You have it? Yeah? Okay. Let me... Okay. Oh, you got one too. She beat you to it. Whoops.
So you have to go this way, right? All right. Now how do you do it? Okay. This is Kaviraj Goswami.
Listen to this. It's a very mystical comparison between Krishna and Brahma and Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. Kaviraj Goswami says, before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. That's the first verse of the Bhagavatam, right? Tene Brahma Hrida. Right? In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, Lord Chaitanya, spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world with chief disciples, the six Goswamis, especially Sri Rupa. He became the chief of the Goswamis. Isn't that interesting? Krishna and Brahma and Lord Chaitanya and Rupa, as Dinabandhu Prabhu said, you go around these Leela stans, you know, with him. He goes on, takes everybody around Parikrama. It's because of the Goswamis, especially Sri Rupa, that Krishna revealed, this is, you know, where Krishna did this, and he ought to know, he's Krishna. Right? Yeah. So, I guess the main points I hope everybody gets is how the founder Acharya really does provide the core identity for all generations of his followers, and how we really need to understand deeply Prabhupada's position for ISKCON to go on. Otherwise it just, you know, it becomes just fragmented if people don't identify. And that's why I started making this seminar, because my students in the Mayapur Institute, wow, they felt so distant from Prabhupada. I could see they were looking at me like, oh, you're so lucky you saw Prabhupada. We never saw Prabhupada. We're so unlucky. Okay, it was a privilege to be here when Prabhupada walked among us, but we have more opportunity now. We only saw him once a year, most of us. Now we have so many, you know, memories and movies and, you know, audio and video and all this stuff. You can be immersed in Prabhupada in a way we never were, because we were inside the explosion. We were too busy being exploded and going here and there. And, you know, and then once a year we'd stagger into Prabhupada's presence. And Prabhupada would say, is everything all right? Right? And just by him saying that, everything was all right. But you might have been half dead, you know. Oh, I got to see Prabhupada, you know. And that's... And, but what did he say? He just said, is everything all right? So the real thing is Vani. And we'll visit that, you know, that eternal vibration. That's the real association. That's it. That's it. And we all have the same opportunity to be and to bask in that and live it. And love it. Live in the love and the light of Prabhupada's everlasting vibration. We really need to understand that. Otherwise, what do we see in Mayapur just a few months ago? Huge tension, huge conflict. It was a wake-up call from Lord Chaitanya telling us, you're building this building? Very nice. Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Srila Bhaktivinoda predicted it. Adbhuta Mandir. Very nice. But you know what? Lord Chaitanya was reminding us, I'm not going to let you finish this unless and until you build the same temple in your hearts. And you come together more. You come together more. Because when people see this wonder of the world, they're going to want to see a wonder in the community. They're going to want to see a community to match that. If they see conflict, woo! Oh, it's when you're there, you see it and you feel it. There's this, you know, wow, okay, but what's going on the ground, as we say in English, what's going on the ground? Okay, we have this target date, 2022. We'll see. Lord Chaitanya, he's not going to let it happen unless we come together more. Yeah. And Prabhupada is the key to that. It's not for no reason, as you're going to see in Lesson 8, that Prabhupada said, every year you have to come to Mayapur, he's talking to the leadership, and you have to discuss how we can have unity in diversity. That's a real trick. That's a real transcendental trick. Okay, how are we doing on time? It's getting late, huh? Question, comment?
What about Ritvik Vada? Because they also claim, you know, what you're talking about, Prabhupada, how he's founder, Acharya, this and that. But actually, Ritvik Vada is first heresy, let's say heresy in our society.
Okay, yeah. We're going to look at Ritvikism in Lesson 9, Fictional Prabhupada's. We don't just bash it, but we see the cause of it. Ritvikism is a monster which we created. We created it. It's like Zonal Acharya. We created that. I mean, Prabhupada, he gave the concept, but then we created the nightmare. This is, you know, we're still recovering from all these things. So let's save that for lesson. We'll definitely do lesson 9. I want you to all see fictional Prabhupadas. Fictional Prabhupadas means impersonal and sentimental misconceptions about Prabhupada, which you may have. And they look true, but they're incomplete. That's why they're tricky. Okay, I think we better end there. And we'll talk about when the next lesson is. The next lesson is huge. So we need a couple hours for that one. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.